I'm Mrs. V, and this is the Mrs. V podcast, talking everything about living a life that you love.
Welcome to Mrs. V podcast, and I'm so excited today because I have someone in the studio who I just am so in awe of in terms of who he is, how he's impacted me with the work he's been doing with me. And I just wanted everyone to actually meet him and experience what an amazing human being. So welcome to the podcast and welcome to you, Daniel Pawlinski.
Oh, well, it's an honor to be here with you, Ms. V. I'm so excited to hold this space and to go down this conversation with you, as well as all of your listeners who are interested in the same discoveries that I think that enlightens this excitement about these conversations with the both of us.
It's been so extraordinary being able to sit in that kind of open space and chat about all things that I believe are very important, which is about what it means to be human, what it means to be a spiritual being. So just before we get on to that, I just want to let the listeners and viewers know a little bit about you. And I found Daniel actually on his podcast, which is Know Thyself podcast. You must listen to this. It's like a library of everything you need for life. And I was just blown away. He has a podcast with his fellow friend, longtime friend, Eduardo Manteca, who is extraordinary as well. And the two of you, how you banter about life, and it's, you can feel the friendship, you can feel the wisdom and the experience that you both had. So I listened to you, and one of the particularly the ones that I was really interested in was about alchemy, because I was very much into alchemy then and still am, but it was new to me. I was starting a course on it, and I got to tell you, the course was nothing compared to what I learned from you two. So that was how I found you, and then I reached out because you were an astrologer, and I booked a session. I had to wait quite a few months because you're very popular. But the great thing is, because I know it's always perfect timing when it came, and that was extraordinary because I got a glimpse, and I've had readings before, and in fact, I didn't really book it for the reading. I booked it to meet you and to experience and have a chat just generally. However, it was a whole different point of view on my chart, which was like an experience, a spiritual experience really, because I got to see myself in a whole different light, which has changed me. So I want to thank you for that. And so that's how I met you. And so here you are today.
Oh, what a beautiful set of flowers you just presented to me. That was so, so nice. And again, it's so exciting to be here. And the language of alchemy is also the big driving force with myself as well. It was really what kind of pulled me into this subject in the first place. And just how much it opens up the subjects like astrology, alchemy, sacred art, and all of those kind of components. It's like you find the common language, and that process of transmutation is undeniable. We know we've all been through it. We've all experienced. It's just so nice when you can start to locate yourself on the map of meaning. And even if we're going to be in a process of we need to surrender, well, when you know that you need to surrender, it makes it a little bit easier to allow that surrender to happen. And it also helps when you know you need to make some movement to kind of push through that threshold and to maybe put some willpower behind it. That the conversation of alchemy was really what we spoke about in all of our sessions together. It was alchemy with where you kind of see yourself in the alchemical furnace from your unique lens of your natal chart.
It's so interesting because alchemy, just for those who don't know much about it, who is listening, and I didn't realize that it was really, there is a 7-step process that's very specific and very detailed. Like, I mean, you spend a whole hour and a half, whatever, talking about one step, step one, which is the 7 steps. And the part about that process of transmutation and transformation and actually moving through life as a whole can happen through your lifetime, or it can happen in a day or a moment. Like it really, you can tap into any element. And I think that was the thing that I didn't even know when I started investigating alchemy. And I called myself an alchemist. I called myself one because I liked the idea that it was taking a tool set of different aspects and bringing it into one. And so that's what I was drawn to and resonated. But when I did the dive, I found out it was just just a whole other world. And so, yeah, I've really loved your, I mean, you've taught me so much about the process of being human. And gosh, there's just so much we can talk about. I'm not sure where to start because I want to talk about it all, of course. But I think firstly, perhaps before we get into the alchemy aspect, I think I want to know a little bit, or can you share about your astrology journey and why that was important for you? And a little bit of, you know, I think it'd be nice for people to know about what your vision of 24 is as well, because we spoke about that ourselves and I thought it'd be great to share. But I'd love to know, let them just feel a little bit about you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the journey to astrology, if you would have told 22-year-old Daniel that he was going to be doing natal charts on a spiritual podcast in 10 years from then, he would have laughed in your face. There would have been no frame of reference. There would have been no relationship to that understanding. And so very interesting, in my own spiritual journey, it wasn't until my mid-20s that I had my first spiritual experience that I could actually identify. You know, as I kind of went through it, I realized there was spiritual experiences that happened, you know, down the line went earlier in my life, but I didn't, again, I couldn't isolate it and identify that this is what was happening. I was going through this archetypal unfoldment of a relationship, and it was so foreign to me that I denied it. Just like I think what spirituality is, it's one of those things, the first 25 years, everything kind of fit in my five sense reality construct that I created. And anything that didn't fit, it was just kind of like, oh, well, I'm just not going to approach that because it kind of would question my paradigm a little bit. It wasn't safe. And so, yeah, surely, you know, one of those things, if you want to make the universe laugh, you make plans. And that idea of me being like, oh, I don't see through a spiritual religious lens, that all was shattered with me right around 25. And from that moment on, and I'm, you know, 35 now, it's been about a 10-year process, it was true deep immersion into the esoteric studies. And it started with just, you know, I just had to even give myself the familiarity of religions. I wasn't raised Christian. I wasn't raised Buddhist. It was very much like a scientific household, which was really great because it sharpened certain analytical and linear understandings of this material realm. It was really like this Neo really had to learn the cube before he could ever see outside of the cube. It was like the red pill wasn't quite ready for me yet. It was like, no, you still need to learn a little bit. And then when it was, thankfully, I accepted the offer. And then that's what opened it up. And it was really my study of ancient mythology. You know, when I first kind of approached the subject, I was a student of history prior. And so the subject of the evolution of consciousness over time really captured and like kind of concentrated and grabbed my attention and my curiosity, which was more not the personal journey through the evolution of consciousness, but the collective and the understanding of like, you know, eras and eons of time, like the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius. And so I was really learning astrology, not in a personal way, but more of an objective, collective way. And learning about these different ages and what they brought and why this evolution was happening. Well, sure, I was studying the stars and then eventually the stars start to show up inside of you. And it was like, as that above, it came down to the below. And then all of a sudden I was seeing these mythological stories in, you know, in these astrological stories in mythology. I was seeing it in the setup of the calendars and it got more and more personal. And it was so funny too, because like I love to study it, but again, I studied astrology to fortify my understanding of alchemy. I used astrology to better understand what I was reading in the tarot, but it never was announcing itself as like, oh, this is actually your most comfortable tool. And it was even, you know, and I think me and you spoke about it, but it was even kind of an accident of like doing it for people within the community of the podcast. When I first started connecting with people, it was just called Alchemical Conversations. And we were just going to work through the seven step of alchemy together. And the first person who like booked it was just like, oh, I want you to look at my chart. And I was like, oh, no, no, you want an astrologer to look at their chart. And they're like, no, I want you to do it. And so it was a really funny thing. I did it for them. And they're like, I love that. And then I was like, oh, that was interesting. And then the second one showed up and I was getting ready to do my whole alchemical plan that I had set up. And they were like, it was like clockwork. They're like, no, I want you to look at my chart. And I was like, oh, this is fascinating. And then it just happened that that just became what we did. But it was such a wonderment, and the magic of it is still opening up to the magic of me this day, because it was like, oh, I never saw this relationship because I wasn't trained in like the standard sense that I thought I needed to, when really that's, you know, that was the whole game and the adventure of the self. It's like, no, the whole adventure was to study all this so you can present it in that way. And what it's done, you know, and one of the greatest things about astrology, I would say, is, yeah, you learn a lot about yourself, which is like the most beautiful thing you can do. But what I really enjoy about it is it gives me a better understanding of where the other individual I'm sharing with is coming from in the funhouse of mirrors, where they find themselves in this perspective, how they approach consciousness, you know, what's their definition of security. It just allows for you to connect to people on such a richer way, and really activate their strengths and fortify where there could be some like help that they could be assisted with, as well as learning how to ask for help for yourself. You know, there's a lot of parts in the chart where you're just like, oh yeah, but I don't tell anybody about it. And the chart's like, well, maybe you should start asking for it, you know? So it really helps in that kind of component. But a really fascinating relationship with the astrological signs and how they kind of became such a powerful part of my life. And now it's just like, it's so amazing, because I was just like, well, how did I organize consciousness before I had these 12 zodiac, you know, filing cabinets or the four elements? And so it is a really fascinating experience, but one that I has been in so enriching for myself, and just, you know, the unfoldment of everybody around me.
I mean it's your interpretation, and I can see for my own journey as I go on to discover just generally about life, is, you know, there is only our truth. You know, truth is our truth. And I think when you have that kind of integration or kind of co-creation with another person, and then your gift is to be able to see in and kind of interpret aspects of themselves and a truth that is their potential, you know, which I find in my own work, you know, it's like I see people's potential, and you're able to articulate it so beautifully, you know, and that's the thing, I think your gift, I mean, the way you articulate everything, and just the different modalities or ways to read life is so beautiful, and I think that's a very rare thing that I've seen. And because even on my journey, when I've seen, like, introduced to the tarot or the astrology or the alchemy or whatever I'm doing, the more I see, or even witchcraft I got into, like doing, you know, the, you know, and that side of the Wicca, is everything just starts to come together. You know, you just see the aspect, so it's a bigger picture. And you begin to move around it like it is your perspective of how you see life and consciousness. And it's all about that. And I think, you know, having experienced you taught me so much about that different point of view, or bringing it together. And it's the same with the astrology. And I love that you said that, you know, you didn't learn it in that way, or whatever it might be, at a school or something. And I think there's so much beauty in that, because it's there's a greater space to actually learn from something that is more magical, that comes in and not normal. And I think that's what's so great sometimes about the self-taught. I'm very self-taught, and I know that it's given me points of views and ability to integrate certain information that I know others don't have. And they have different things, but that's, for me, that's what's been important. And I love it. And it's funny, just with the alchemy, before we come back to the astrology, is that, you know, what happened after our session is I really began to see that my creative side was very important, you know, because I sing and I write, and I think that creativity is that key to everything that you're talking about, actually. It's the creative mind, it's the ability to, you know, to do everything that we need to do in our life. And I started doing some, I wanted to show you. I started doing my some painting. And I did, this one's on alchemy, and it's just a little bit of the journey of the self-discovery. And I just wanted to share that with you, because it started a process for me, and, you know, about being able to express what it is that's important. Here's another one, which is the cosmos. You can't see it. That's the cosmos, which is, you know, journey. So, yeah, I wouldn't have done that because from really being able to tap into that other aspect, I got to see that whole, like, you know, I don't have the words you have, but I just that ability to express myself in a way that fits with when you showed me my chart, you know, it was really important for me to bring it together where I've always thought, I can't, it's too much. But when after having that, I saw, no, it's an important part of me to do that, and that'll come in its own way. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it was, again, the greatest honor. And thank you for sharing those two pieces of art. You know, we were just going through your oracle cards and looking at your deck, talking before we went on. And I love your work with lines and how you use lines, but I just, it always blows me away the amount of intelligence that you put into the space of things and how things are spaced out and how you have space to really look at this object and get connected with it. And so again, I'm always so blown away with your artistic component and yeah, that idea of how important all of it is. You know, we don't think about when we sometimes try to isolate our creative output of like, well, you know, I need to focus on being a writer or a painter. You know, I need to pick one of these, but we don't realize that when you're playing music, you're planting seeds for a painting that's going to come in the future. And you don't realize that you're watering those seeds through this creative output. You don't realize that you're watering those seeds when you're like playing with a puppy and you're taking in that amazing experience of the magic of the dog. We don't see that because it's not aligned. It doesn't collapse in a way that we can see like, this is the effect. I know where the cause came from. Well, you water your seed by being creative in as many ways as possible. And I think that that's such an important thing to look into and understand. And again, how we like network everything together and, you know, finding ways that are exciting for us and to unfold the process through play is so important because play is the original expression of the inner child. You don't talk out the inner child. You get it to do what it used to do naturally, which was play. So the more opportunities we give the inner child to play, the more blossoming it will do to give us this insight of that alchemy sketch that you just showed in the universe and, you know, everything that we go through. When I was speaking about how I love working with your cards, well, it's that component of play. And once the child comes out, it's watering the ground for other seeds to sprout out, which will be other creative outputs. And so I couldn't agree with you more.
It was amazing because the first thing I did was, I love that you talked about the inner child, was I thought I'm going to do something creative for half an hour a day. And I don't care what it is, there's no agenda. So I thought I'm going to write some poetry. So it was always 11:30 at night. I have a night thing because I'm with the moon.
Yes.
The moon. I've got my moon on with me. I'm wearing it. So, you know, and that was another beautiful thing that I got from our session was how connected I am to the moon. And it just has opened up a whole other way for me to access who I am. And that's that kind of interplay between nature, what is, and ourselves. And I think you showed me that beautifully. And so, again, my first poem was called The Inner Child. Mm. And I'll send it to you later. It was just so lovely because as I'm writing, I started opening up another part. There was a voice that saw magical words. So it kind of floated around about different ways to talk about things and see things. And there she was because it was like, oh, my God, there you are. That was the little girl that was writing poetry and 10, you know, this amazing stuff, which, you know, I couldn't access before. But I think giving her the space to come in then opened up a whole other things that, and it's so good to talk about creativity because I think in my own journey of what I'm doing in my work, and I've even taken the alchemy term of who I am at the moment. I mean, I do change all the time, but it's, you know, that healing, like I feel like we all heal, we all are transformers, we are all spiritual guides, there's a part, we're all artists in a way. And I think that creativity is that underlying part that we all have access to. And I think in that creativity is where we heal and we come into that space. And that's where I'm exploring now with people more, the work that I'm doing is keeping it much more simple. And it's only, I can only get to that spot because I've unearthed other aspects, you know, the journey of being through and being able to see kind of the movement of things. And I guess that brings me into talking about today and what's happening as on an energetic level. And you told me beautiful, you talked about what's happening in this year for people and how energy has changed and we're moving into this space. How does it affect the ability to learn or shift or change quicker? Because I know it is that there's a quickening in terms of what's happening on many levels. But if you're starting out or you're really on your spiritual journey and you're new in there, what does it mean for people on that journey? Do they have to do the long yards we've done? Do they have to kind of dip into different places? I mean, it's a question I'm asking too, just really about where do you take it from your point of view? Because you know so much about the history and you know that aspect, but you also have the understanding of the simplicity. What's your thought?
Yeah, and it's such a fascinating component to look into. And understanding, you know, as a sovereign individual, we are our own music makers. And there's this independent path that we can carve out. But it's the background is a fixed construct of a cycle of time and progression. And understanding that evolution will better understand how we need to operate at certain times in places. And it really is. It's a very fascinating time for the spiritual student. And would I say that they have to maybe put in the hours like the hermits of the past years ago? No, I actually think that we're in a concentrated spiritual construct right now that will actually, because it's such a pressurized system, that it will actually speed up the process in rates that we haven't seen. But the ability to bypass as well and ignore and completely turn off the spiritual lens is going to be easier than it's ever been as well. So it doesn't get easier. It's one of those things like, okay, you're going to notice cycles and patterns that might have been under your threshold of awareness in the past. You're going to see them now, but now you have less time to transmute that cycle and pattern into something that's beneficial, that's going to unfold you into to the progression of who you are truly supposed to become. And so it's always one of those things when there's more capacity put on us, there's more responsibility that's asked of us. And so that's this interesting space and time that we find ourselves in. But, you know, just by the changes and the evolution that we do see, we're all starting to learn more how we specifically communicate with the universe and how the universe communicates with us. It's like the language that it's been trying to speak to us, we're starting to decipher more and more. And as we decipher it, we realize that it takes two to tango. And the reality is actually looking to us through our thoughts and our emotions and our actions and responding to us, just like just like we respond to it. And it's this interplay and it's this dance. And we do have a capacity as like sovereign individuals on the spiritual journey to take the God-given destiny of like leading the dance at this point and trying to assist Mother Nature in this collective consciousness evolution. But again, that's going to take us to understand we have to learn the dance before we can kind of, you know, take the lead of the dance. And right now with the year being, you know, 2024 in a numerology way, it would be considered eight. And eight is a time of death and rebirth. It's really this alchemical number of kind of like rising from the ashes. And in this eighth house, it is cycles and patterns, things that, you know, we used to rely on for security or things that we used to identify ourselves with are asked to kind of be put through the furnace. And if they are a true principle that we should be foundation in and like fundamental ourselves in and use as a foundation, then it will remain. But anything in the falsehood is going to kind of burn away. And so it is going to kind of call for, you know, where we're going to choose, whether it's going to be like, do you put your lens to the cosmic classroom, which is this like evolution, or do you kind of get pulled into the magnetic pull of the carnal carnival? You know, it's so interesting. There's one construct, but two programs, and it's the free will individual that decides where they want to put that frame of reference. And that's truly what the alchemist is. The alchemist is that individual, you know, utilizing the steps to change their frame of reference, their point of reference to seeing the cosmic classroom, rather than kind of getting hypnotized by by some of the bells and whistles in the carnal carnival.
Yeah, amazing. It's so true. It's like I can feel it. It's easy to slip that way, you know, where I see in my life people around me. And I mean, or to stay on track. It's very, how do I say it? I was trying to kind of look at the process now of what's happening for people, and where I got to was that, you know, it takes that first step of true love of self to invest in oneself and, you know, to look inside, you know, to actually just that step itself is huge. If you can get to that, and then personal responsibility. And I, you know, I love that you said that because, you know, the energy is about you have to be responsible and everything's around that, you know, like, you know, that because there's so much victimhood behavior at the moment, which is just giving your power away, really, you know, and that's why people are so angry because they've had their power taken. So there's that when you can flip into that space and then finally that shows the truth, which is that it's only your truth that really matters and how to you can heal from that space. Because I know the work that I'm doing with people a lot is just reframing where they're seeing their life because, you know, it's like they see it just from this point of view that is so destructive and, you know, trying to turn it, keeping them on that themselves, I think is, you know, you either have a karmic propensity to do that or not, or, you know, so I think, you know, in terms of, I guess with the astrology sessions, you're able to kind of let them see through a new lens of who they are. Is there any advice? Because I know you have your listeners on your podcast, and I know that they've come back sometimes and said, give us some practical steps, you know, because we want to do some, you know, we want what you have and we want to know. What practical steps would you give people now? You know, what's something that they could focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, that's one of the big things that I think both you and I are striving to do in our work is, you know, not only breaking down these concepts, looking at these fundamentals, but how do we make it applicable? How do we actually make it to where an individual can utilize this information? And one of the biggest things with astrology is we approach it and we see all these symbols, we have all these terms, and it can kind of be overwhelming. And it's so funny because, like, even just through our conversation and discussing it, we really can start to see, like, oh, things represent each other. And there's like repetitive patterns of themes that kind of present themselves. But in any case, when it comes to, like, okay, I want to understand more of these invisible energies that are at the cause of patterns that are being affected in my reality. And the best way to kind of do that is to start simple, keep it really homebound, and just look at the other closest orb to the one that we're standing on, and that's the moon. The moon is such a great teacher that you can start with just the phases, the waxing to the full to the waning. And then you can start to approach, well, what's the moon like when it's in a water element? What's it like in an air element? And most importantly, what's it like to me? You know, what's my generated experience? And doing things like, you know, journaling for a couple months and then going back, you know, taking a couple months of data and just trying to write in the journal whenever you can and date it. Well, after a couple months, you go back to the first day and you just go right online to your search engine and you look at where was the moon on March 18th, you know, and then you're like, oh, the moon was in Aquarius, an air sign. You might notice, like, well, I did write a lot on that day. It was like my intellect was communicating in a well day. And then you'll turn the page and be like, wow, there's no entries when the moon's in Pisces. And it's like, well, maybe that day's beyond words. You know, we spoke about things like that. Interesting cycles and patterns, and all data is positive data here. So even if there's days we don't like fill out, it's okay. Maybe that's not a day for us to construct ideas. Maybe that's not a day for us to actually collapse things. Maybe that's a day for meditation. Maybe that's a day for like physical activity. Either way, there's a pattern that's trying to unfold within you, and it's really trying to get your attention, and it's been trying to get your attention every 2.5 days for your whole life. And once we kind of understand it, it's a really fascinating thing because the moon, kind of like the astrological wheel, is in neutral. It could be your best weapon, and it could be your best assister in your spiritual journey, and it could be the biggest resistor for you if you don't understand it. And so that's all we're looking to do, is like, how do we learn how this energy is operating and its changes? And doing something like the moon will allow for us to approach it in a pretty like bite-sized, chewable way. When, you know, you just have to kind of learn about the 12 astrological signs, and you can kind of realize quickly, like, oh, when the moon is in Scorpio, it's like a salsa dance. So I need to wear my salsa clothes and my salsa shoes, and I need to be able to like swing like a salsa dancer. Well, when the moon's in Virgo, it's going to be more of a square dance. So like, bring your cowboy hat and your cowboy boots, but you're going to move differently. And so is the construct. So are the people around you. And it's so tight. And like, you know, even when the moon's in Capricorn, it's like the little tiny town of Footloose. It's like no dancing, no fun. It's like, okay, this is serious time. This is business. You know what I mean? But well, when it's in Capricorn, you do get down to business. So you like look at, hey, what's working in my life? What symbols are, and you're a little, you could be a little tough on yourself at that time. Well, then when the moon goes into Sagittarius, which it was right in before that, that's when you kind of look at, what have I been doing right? And we can like poke ourselves up. And so it's a great way to complete yourself and to really start to have a good dance with this relationship. And really, before we even approach astrology, the moon is like the mother to all of the planets. And so there's nothing is going to make you like, nothing's going to make Chiron or Pluto or Neptune, like these really mystical planets that everybody wants to explore. Nothing's going to make them more upset if you go out there and you try to understand like, Pluto, what are these deep cycles in my blood that I'm trying to heal? And it's like, hey, where's the moon right now? And you're like, oh, I'm going to get to that later. It's going to take it like you've insulted its mother. It's going to be really hard on you. All the planets are. So if you take care of your relationship with the moon, you can kind of hack the system, because the planets will be like, okay, I wanted to be hard on you, but you're pretty cool with my mom. So I'm going to be a little bit easier on you. So like, hey, take whatever you can, you know what I mean? In this interesting reality, but that would always be my first approach. It's so applicable. And you know, especially with so many of us, it's just becoming aware of that relationship. And that's, again, something that's so beautiful, even like working with like, you know, female individuals that are more even intuitively by their like biological connection to it, so in tune to it. So it really just opens up a language and a pattern that's always been yearning for our attention. And it's just so funny. Like you said, it's like a quickening, just like for yourself. You were like, oh my gosh, I'm a moon child. And then it was like, you're a moon child. And it like came at you and met you right in the middle.
It was, and it does so much more than you believe it's going to do as well. And I think that's the power, I mean, of everything. But what it did was it connected me more to nature. It made me more sensitive to what was happening. I had a different ability to, you know, my intuition grew. Like, there's so many things that happened because of that. And I think that's a fantastic first step. And I mean, as you said, she's the mother, and she's what we all kind of need to kind of connect with, because it's just such a magical way of doing it. And yeah, great advice. Fantastic.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, no, I love it. And again, I was so excited when you started speaking about the moon, and even that you're wearing the moon emblem.
I do my series. I'm going to do a moon series with the, you know, the night and everything. So I do have one, which is, yeah, I love it. I love it. One of the things I'd love to ask you is, you know, because with your podcast, and, you know, obviously you're thinking about different subjects that you talk about and want to share with, what's something that you, you know, like would be on your mind at the moment to share on your podcast? Like, just like, what is on your mind or you think people need to hear about?
What's happening? Oh man, $1 million question there. and I love it. I love it, because it's an endless subject. Yeah. And you know, what I think is the most amazing thing is what we find with this year of the eight. It's an 8 year. It's in, you know, in Eastern astrology, Chinese astrology, it's the year of the dragon. Dragon in the number eight represents snakes, and it actually represents a very old spiritual understanding called serpent wisdom. That's part of our the deep fabric of our collective consciousness. And it's like a lot of where our archetypal symbols come from, this understanding of like the perennial philosophy and why symbolisms repeat in cultures and why the five-pointed star has significance everywhere, why the cross has significance everywhere. And what this is it's one of the ancient spiritual religious systems of the ancient past that kind of lost favor as the what we would call the ancient cults, which is really what the, you know, when you look at an astrological board wheel, it's really a smorgasbord of ancient understandings of really pre-flood cultures and communities. And you have your serpent religions, you had your lunar religions, you had your solar religions, you had your Saturnian religions. In the past, they had their tree religions. The original one was that we can still see intact in like Polynesian countries is like the fire religion. That was one of the birth of the very first ones. But so many complex spiritual schools and organizations were developed. And one of them was the serpent religion. And it definitely lost power and influence at the turn of when we became like history, when history was starting to be recorded prior to prehistory. You know this in the Lord of the Rings when like the elves and the, you know, in the gnomes, everybody's not going on forward. It's just the humans. Well, this was a mark. This was a mark in actually our own history when history began. And it's very ancient because like when they write about in the Bible, men walked with angels. They walked with giants. And this was this period before we actually like actualized into this more like physical component. And from that past, there's a lot of wisdom that we're rediscovering. And the serpent wisdom, which is this understanding of like what our true past was, what is the connection that binds us all together, and what are we actually operating within, I feel like is getting released and understood more and more. And so this deeper message that there's a bigger understanding of the human experience and that the human experience is a part of something bigger is, I think, what's the most interesting thing to kind of explore and kind of like our true history, which is really fascinating because it's kind of coming up in various kind of ways in geology and even the history departments. They're starting to come across things and, you know, digs that aren't aligning with the times that we used to think. Mm-hmm. Underground cities that are being discovered. It seems like our past is much more magical than it was presented to us. And I truly believe the two most important times in a life and even a civilization is, you know, when you first discover magic and when you believe in magic again. Because there's always this period in the individual life and the community where we disconnect to that aspect that the universe is one step above logic and reconnecting to it, I think, is the most important moment of our lives.
Oh, I love that. And it's so true. It's like, I think there is an awakening that things aren't what they seem to be. And I think that's an underlying subject matter for everybody. And it's like for the first time, I really feel like aliens are going to show up. Like I really feel that there's going to be things that are going to be shown to us that says that, if that's true. Mm-hmm. There is that part which is what we think and what we believe happens. And I think that's, you know, part of the whole process, I suppose, of us understanding our consciousness and what it means in terms of our life. And it's like, I just watched this video of a woman who had died and she went in through her whole, like a process that happened. She was clinically dead for about 10 minutes and she got to be where she thought she was in heaven or whatever it was. But she said the most amazing thing, it was really real. Like she'd be on a mountain and she'd say, I want to be on that mountain. She was there in a moment. And I won't go into the details. She went into the whole specific process, which made sense completely to me. But what I got mostly out of it is that our thoughts create our reality. And I just believe totally, my belief is everything. Belief is the belief in magic and what we can't see anymore. It's that ability, because as soon as you lose belief, which is, you know, and why society brought that kind of thinking in, and I know there's the whole control aspect of, you know, propaganda and I think now we're merging out into that waking up part, you know, that you know, seeing things that we haven't before. So I totally agree. And also the bit that when you're talking about the serpent and the, how that's come up, which is so interesting because to me, snakes and serpents is creativity and sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, that. So therefore we come back to that, what it means, like even, you know, society at the moment, how they treat sexuality and the distortion there, and then coming back to what that really is, which is about creativity, is about love. It's about all that part which has been forgotten, really. And, you know, I think it'll flip itself at what point, I don't know. But, you know, it's so interesting that you're talking about that because as I'm exploring the whole creative realm, you know, it then comes into to tuning into that part, which is all about self too, and your own relationship to your own body, your own connection to others. And, you know, like it is the basis of everything, even all this from a spiritual point of view as well. I mean, that's where I'm at the moment. But, you know, I love that you brought that up. So, yeah, what do you think, I mean, in terms of, you know, when you were thinking about that and what is being shown up, can you talk a little bit more about that, about where your mind's at?
Yeah. And, you know, so much of what you said too about this component in the relationship with creativity, how that operates within us and how in tune that is to the purpose of why we're here and the purpose of even existence in general and what we're operating here. And it truly is this, I think it's this next level of this relationship that is being formed. And astrologically, we have this, like this 8 year, we have this year of the dragon, but there's other big astrological patterns that are very much pointing to some form of a renaissance. And, you know, we had Pluto during this year, right around January 20th, it moved into the sign of Aquarius, which is going to allow for this creative energy to be more uniquely blossomed through individuals. It's like they can really start to learn how they uniquely create in this reality, as well as something you brought up, networking all of your creative outputs and not needing to choose just one, and understanding that actually by doing all of these, you're nurturing all of them and you're actually sending life force energy to that. And this is going to be something that we're going to see even increase with movements with Neptune and the planet Saturn in the next couple of years. But I think that this is one of the big things, not only with like sharing our creativity, but this model of like how you're approaching your creative form and utilizing this idea of like actually all of these creative expressions are important. Well, this is like the message that this next generation of children need to be, because like you and I have the beautiful opportunity of redesigning the like the physical body of the butterfly, because we're changing from the caterpillar to the butterfly, but we're not the wings. We haven't even seen what the wings are. We're just transmuting the old parts of this reality into setting up so we can be a container of whatever this blossoming generation is that's been born in these last couple of years and born in these next couple of years. That's really what we're doing. We're just trying to separate anything that's no longer serving the future. But what's going to come out of this? Oh, we just set up the canvases. You know, I'm just putting up the white, you know, the white walls, and they're going to come in and splash all the paint, and they're going to really make these unique masterpieces. And I think it's so exciting to be on that, to be on that precipice of like being able to help assist with that change. But creativity, especially around 2025, you're going to see Pluto is going to move out of, Saturn will move out of the sign of Pisces into Aries, and so will the planet Neptune. And Pisces is like revelations, and Aries is like Genesis. It's like the end to the beginning. And it really is. This is the end of a lot of old cycles and patterns and creative expression. And we're about to jump into something that's going to be a completely new start in both of those. And we're going to see expansion in film, art, what movies are about. If people have noticed, there's been like even concepts have been repeating themselves, similar themes of like the same story. Maybe like we've seen a lot of universes be created, like the Marvel universe and stuff. And it's run its patterns, but it's hard for them to come up with anything new right now. And that's all part of the planning. There'll be a lot of new ideas coming out in about 2 years But the same thing with music, the same thing with everything. And most importantly, the same thing for sovereign individuals like yourself, myself, and everybody listening included. There's such this opening of spiritual capacity to be expressed through you or to be taken in through you that hasn't been available like it's been available. So even if you did paint when you were 13 and you didn't like it, and you're like in your 60s now, like grab a paintbrush, you know, why not? See what kind of happens through this, maybe through writing, and it could be through anything. But either way, there's this new relationship that we have with this reality where we realize that we are the music makers, and we have so much say on how this reality kind of goes through its process. And I think, you know, one of the things you brought up was that creativity and the responsibility. And I think responsibility that really own the fact that you are the creator here that's making this and really formulating this is the step that is the renaissance that we're all like trying to embark on.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. You said it so well. How good are you? It's like for everyone listening, you can see just that magic that comes through.
It's a magical space we're all in together. And that's what's great about it.
Thank you so much. We're going to leave it there. And I just so grateful that you took the time out to chat with me and let everyone kind of get a bit of a glimpse into who you are. And please just go to knowthyselfpodcast.org and you will hear the magic on full scale. As I said, there's a library of amazing teachings and information there. And I think if you are on the spiritual journey, just listening to what you've created is enough, really. It's got everything, and the quality is amazing. And the way you both do it and yourself, very grateful.
Oh, I'm so honored. And, you know, and also we would, we're so, again, so blessed to be on this show. And I would love for you to, you know, Eduardo and you have not got to meet, and I can't wait for that to come together in those amazing conversations. Yeah. But, you know, if anybody is interested in a natal chart, if they, we can make the promo code, we'll just make it simple. We'll call it Alchemy. And that will be 30% off for your listeners forever. I'll make sure that coupon never. And even if they're not listeners, please, if you know somebody who needs it, anybody can use that code Alchemy, and it'll be open forever. So please, anybody, it's just so amazing that I get to have these conversations with people. A lot of the times, like, especially with yourself, I was like, I felt like I wanted to pay you.
I had such a good time. I'm so grateful for that code, everyone. That is amazing. Please book in. And even if you have to have a bit of a wait, doesn't matter, because it's always the perfect time when it comes about. So I knew that. So please do that. Amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you for everybody listening. We'll see you on the next episode. And lots of love and sparkle from me.
Until next time, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Mrs. V podcast. And if you'd like to learn more, visit mrsv.com.au.